The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Alexa, are back. Woo-hoo! And today we are digging deeper into episode number 12 of Survivor 50. And we are joined by Juwan Pitts from Survivor 49. He is here. If you can see him there, I know he's got his camo on. So in case you can't tell, there he is. Sorry, I had to call it there right away. Oh, Juwan, you're the reason that this magical trio is happening right now. You told Blake, I think the exact words were Blake can go kick rocks. I don't like him. Get him out of here. Something like that, right? It was like paraphrasing.
Yeah, and it's nothing personal. It's like what I said earlier. It's like I don't hate Blake. I just really like Alexa a lot more. So
sorry, it's not Blake. Personal. It's just a fact.
No, I'm so excited to be here. This is really, really like a bucket list thing for me. And thank you for coming out of retirement, Alexa. This is cool.
This is actually tugging at my, this is like tugging at my nostalgia. I missed like Phil and I, like having like three of us on. So this is awesome. I'm so excited. And I'm slowly climbing out of retirement. It feels good to be back.
Yeah.
Good.
When was the last time, Alexa, you've done three this season, two this season? I know you did a recap, right?
Well, you pulled me through the gauntlet with the preseason 50.
Yeah, I did.
And then I did a Matt chat with Tegwith like a month ago. And then I did surviving the fandom with her, which was like very intense. That stuck with me for a while. I really enjoyed that. Because I've never like talked about why I left before. So it's been fun.
I need to watch that video. I'm sorry. I think that I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Tune in. It was a good
one. Crazy.
I mean, it's me talking so hopefully it's good.
That's why Alexa would text me after. She's like, is that the best podcast you've ever had on your channel? Was that the top one, like number one?
1 hour,
is that past, the Sarah Lucina Winners at War Tell All? Is it
really?
Like
it has to be.
Here you go, Juwan. He's here, he's in the chat. He's there.
Hey, look at us, we're the gang's all here.
But Blake commenting where he should be. So this will be fun to talk about. I know. So I had watched the episode last night. I went down to a watch party in Hollywood. Juwan was there. So I got to actually meet Juwan last night in person for the first time, which was fun. And he got to witness me pretty much having to like dodge questions from people for the first hour of me being at the watch party. Cause people were like, what do you think about the season? And inside I'm seething. And I'm just like, this season is gone to shit. I hate everything. But on the outside, I'm like, no, it's really good. I love Devins. I love Sari. You know, maybe Jonathan or Aubrey could pull something off. You know, didn't want to say what it was actually going through my mind at the time. So Juwan, I'll start with you. And then Alexa, you know, you can jump in too. But Juwan, how are you feeling after losing Sari and Devins last night? And how do you feel about the final five and where we're at?
Oof, such a loaded question. You know, last week I was chilling. Like, I was kind of happy. I thought, you know, last episode was kind of like my favorite of the season. I liked it more than the Mr. Beast. I know that's a hot take, but I just thought that the editing of having Jonathan going back and forth and then the rise and fall of the legend, you know, Ozzy, I thought that was beautiful. And then this episode kind of felt a little bit rushed for me. You have Rick Devins, who is such a big influence this season. Like, I can't even imagine if you take him out of this season, like it wouldn't be the same. And to see him go out and kind of a whimper a little bit, and then the queen Sari, and the fact that she just gets voted out normally. Like, I think I'm so used to Sari going out in the most outlandish fashion. That's why I think for me, I'm like, oh, it hurts. So even though this episode was rough, you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Phil. It doesn't really tank the season for me. You know, I still think that there's a lot of great moments in this season that hopefully, you know, as we get more seasons moving on, we can still look back and be like, okay, that was a solid season.
And Sari, this was the first time she was ever voted out by the majority of the tribe she was on. She had
no way.
This is the first time. Yeah, because it was 2-2 in Panama.
Right.
It was 1-0 in Micronesia, so she didn't get another vote. So they technically always say that doesn't count because it was just one vote. And then in Heroes versus Villains, it was the 3-3-2 that she went home. In Game Changer, she got no vote. And then in AU versus the World, she went out at fire. So this was the first time that she actually was voted out by the majority of her tribe. And still, it wasn't unanimous because Tiffany still threw the vote at Aubrey. So it was 4-2. We didn't get a unanimous one.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Alexa, Alexa, are you finding the positivity? Juwan's sitting here with positivity coming in. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I know. Your energy is good. You know, I think that in terms of like the pacing of it, like I watched the episode having no clue that there were going to be two people voted out, and it was like a normal episode. So it felt super rushed for two people who were the absolute stars. On one hand, Rick and Sri, I think, weren't as devastated as Ozzy's was. Like Ozzy's vote out, like 12-year-old me was like sobbing watching that. Like I felt that. Sri and Rick, it was quick. They both seemed to know. Like it just, there was no drama because I think there was no drama. And so that is kind of just the way the cookie crumbled. But what is sad is that there's 24 people on the season. Like to me, my gripe with that episode was the larger problem that we were just flying through people. We were voting out two people a week. And I don't know. I think that's the point in the game where I feel like people play safe. Like Juwan, you would know better than I would, but no one wanted to rock the boat. Everyone just wanted to get to the finale, and that's
yeah. And that's such a good point. I think it, going back to Rick Devens, I think that's what makes his game very, you know, kind of great in this season. You know, when things are going kind of crazy and the tribe swaps, it's still cool to see someone like him and Emily kind of just, you know, swing for the fences. And I think that's the problem with too many people, too many advantages. Like people just kind of like, you know, get a little cagey. But yeah, how about you, Phil? Who was your favorite coming into this season? Did you have was it Devens? Was it Sri?
Devens was my preseason winner pick. Colby was who I was most excited for. I never thought I'd see Colby again. And I mean, that was Australia was my favorite season. I mean, I'm old enough to have remembered watching that live and like remember how much of a phenomenon Colby really was. And so, I mean, that's what I was rooting for. But I think the thing that hurt me the most, and Will and I got a bunch of crap last night on our recap because people are like, you didn't even recap the episode. I'm like, yeah, because like there was nothing to recap.
Recap
like,
what?
Yeah, like I felt like right. We had to talk kind of about what the repercussions of that episode are going to be and kind of the mistakes that I think Survivor made on this season. And one of the things is, it's like both of you have kind of mentioned it, but they rushed through the part that we don't want to rush through. It's like Game of Thrones, which Sam Phelan just finished. And he was like, this is the greatest ending. And I personally like the ending, but like, I know that's a polarizing thing, but it's like, you watch these first couple seasons of Game of Thrones and like, it'll be four episodes of like one of the characters traveling from an inn to another inn. And like, oh, we went to them for a conversation. And then all of a sudden in episode 7, episode 8, it's like, oh, we're flying from King's Landing all the way up to beyond the wall. And we're doing that in like 5 minutes. Like we're right. It really, that would have been almost an entire season arc early on. And so you start rushing through the really exciting parts, the stuff that we want, the climax, and it's going too fast. And that's what feels like is happening here. You had this opportunity with 24 people to just get rid of people early, get rid of two people every episode early on, get us down to final 12 and just go normal from final 12 on. You would be able to get from 24 to 12 and 6 episodes of double boots, and then do 6-7 more episodes, which would get you through the finale, and it would be single boots in the whole second half of the game. Instead, they did the single boots early and they tripled and doubled and doubled. And so we had a triple boot from 17 to 15.
Right.
Then we had a single boot. Then we had another double boot. Then we had a single boot. Then it was double boot, I think. I think that's how it went. And so when you sit here and you think about that, you're like, okay, so the people that we've gotten invested in, we're now getting rid of them really fast. It's like, but I want to spend an entire episode, you know, saying goodbye to Sri. I want to spend a whole episode saying goodbye to Devens. I don't want to spend a whole episode saying goodbye to Charlie. Sorry. Like, I don't care. Like, it's too early in the game.
Right. And my next question is, like, if we cut these two episodes in half, right? So say if Rick Devens gets a normal boot episode and Sri gets a boot episode, do you feel like, was it too obvious? Like, do you think there wasn't enough there? That's why they just kind of put them together? Or do you think it just was like a timing thing?
Okay. Go ahead, Alexa.
It feels like Well, we've had a five-person finale for a few years now, so I think it feels like just the way it timed up. But to that point, Juwan, like, mm-hmm. if they did divide it up, it would maybe be more, it would be more satisfying, because then we would get, like, everyone talking about how amazing Suri is and how grateful they are that Rick got them $2 million. But at the end of the day, the vote is still not interesting. So I right. think, like, where I'm assuming people are frustrated is that, like, we just brushed through two people, two extremely popular players. And the thing is, with the final five, I would say all of them except for Tiff have, like, holistic edits. Like, Jonathan has been our narrator. Rizzo is naturally a narrator. Aubrey has a very clear story. Mm-hmm. Joe has a very clear story. Yeah. And Tiff got hot in the second half. I think I'm extremely frustrated because her first half was so paltry, not because of her for any reason. So I just feel like I know she's not going to win. But I think, like, this final five is actually a fairly well-edited final five. It is just not the final five that people were expecting or wanting out of this 24-person cast.
So here's the one thing I have to say, and Alexa using the big words, bringing back her podcasting. That was good.
Paltry.
I was like, damn. All right. Okay, Alexa. Geez.
Yeah, she used that journalism major in a while.
I know. You Google that too, Juwan, because I did.
I had to play it off. I'm like, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, you know, I think Alexa used that right. I'm not going to correct it because I don't know. But
I've gone back to the corporate world for too long.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, but my whole thing is, some of the best episodes in Survivor history, and this was a conversation that we did have in the preseason, because we were doing those 50s, like the 50 best episodes, or we ranked characters. We did 50 best episodes and 50 best moves. And there was the conversation around moves versus episodes of, well, whatever you pick for moves is going to go with episodes. Like, the best episodes have the best moves. And that's just simply not true. Like, who went home in the Fair Play Dead Grandma Lie episode? Most people don't know. I think it was Tawana. But most people don't know the answer to that question. Who went home in, like, I can't even think of, like, other ones, but it's like, there's so many great episodes of Survivor where the boot was predictable, or it started to be telegraphed early. But what actually took place in that episode was very, very exciting. The Drew Christie episode is a great example of that. One of the best pre-merge episodes you'll ever see. And it's just a roast of Drew Christie. So for me, St. Clippo with martyr approach. We know Coach is going from the moment that season, that episode starts. That's my favorite episode in the history of the show. Yeah. You can get away with predictable boots if the story you're telling is compelling. And when you have Rick Devens and you have Ceree Fields, your story should always be compelling. And so that's just my feeling on it. And I do think I agree with both of you. There might not have been a lot of meat on the bone. Then the other thing that I kind of have to push back on here, and I actually have the stats to back this up.
Uh-oh.
The editing of this final five is actually so bad historically. And Survivor,
oh, really?
Yes. And Survivor Fact Checker, if you follow Survivor Fact Checker over on Instagram,
yeah,
he does the confessional count, but then he also does the averages, and then he does a percentage of the edit that you should have. So, like, what edit have you gotten compared to what the average on the season is? So, for example, Christian Ubicki had 105%. The edit of a normal person on this season. So literally more than double what the average person got. Okay. Ozzy was 60%. Out of this final five, four of them are in the negatives. So Tiffany is negative 48%. Joe is like negative 30 something. And the only one who's above average is Jonathan, and it's 4%. So he's barely even above average. He's nowhere near the others. So go ahead, Alex. You had your hand up. Yes, I'll call on you.
Thank you. Yes. So I have this. I literally have this on Instagram right now. So the negative percent is that percentage of a normal edit. Can you explain that?
So pretty much what it's saying is, based on what the average, like, what the number of confessionals on this season is divided by however many people play each episode, blah, blah, blah. So pretty much the negative is saying Tiffany has 48% fewer confessionals than she should have at this point in the game compared to what the average is. And Aubrey has 22% less or something like that. Jonathan has 4% more, but it's like, okay, so that really means he has like one confessional more than like what would make him exactly average. Whereas somebody like Christian had double what he should have had when he went out. Now, granted, that's going to happen on a season. But I think the other problem with this is because this is a final five that, as you said, Alexa, most people probably wouldn't be happy with when the season started. This is Will's. We did a winner wish list. And if you listen to the recap, you know this. This is Will's bottom four from the winner wish list. Plus no, Rizzo, who he couldn't rank. Brutal. Unreal. Damn. But they didn't edit. I don't feel like they edited them enough where I'm like, look, okay, fine. I love them now. Like Brad Culpepper gets a good edit in Game Changer. Ciara Dawn Thomas, I was like, why the hell is she playing again? And then all of a sudden you get three or four episodes in. You're like, Ciara Dawn Thomas is delivering. This is great. I think Jonathan, they've done that a little bit with. I think Rizzo to an extent, but Rizzo kind of disappeared recently. But like Tiffany, like you said, Alyssa, I mean, Tiffany's just like, why, all of a sudden she's a threat. And you're like,
yeah. Like, where was that at?
It's so frustrating because this again was extremely preventable with a 20-person cast. Even if you keep Coach Ozzie Suri there and give Christian 99% instead of 105%. But to me, Aubrey is like, if Aubrey wins, I will enjoy rewatching this with that lens. Because to me, Aubrey for a bit has felt quote unquote obvious because Phil, you've conditioned me so well. As soon as she started talking about Michelle, I was like, oh my God, Aubrey's going to win. Aubrey's going to win. But Aubrey has a very clear story. And I was explaining to Katie, who doesn't know all of the Aubrey lore. She's like, who is Michelle? Why is she talking about this? I'm like, girl, sit down. But she like, this is such, if Aubrey wins, it is so fitting for her to learn from her mistakes and then win as a result of that. Aubrey feels so complete if she wins. Jonathan, I think, would be a very satisfying winner. Tiffany, I want to win. She's my favorite one out there, but I'm so frustrated with what we were given that I just like kind of write her off.
And Joanna, real quick, just before you say anything here, there's this channel called The Matt Chat, which Kyle Durrett runs. And Kyle Durrett does Amazing Race with Ken on our channel. And he did a podcast or a video in January called The Fifth Place Edit. And if you watch it, if Tiffany gets fifth place, it hit every single part of the fifth place edit that you would expect it to hit. You start off really quiet. You get a mid-season spike. There's a story of, oh, this person could totally win that comes out of nowhere.
Allison, David versus Goliath.
Allison versus David versus Goliath. Christina from 49. Christina? Yep. From 48, it was Mitch.
I was looking at our edits. Sorry to jump in, but I think it's so interesting because, guess who has like a negative 46 on our edit? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Christina. It's the fifth place. But you're right. The other, I didn't realize going back to how, I guess, unedited, you know, or unbalanced the 50 edit is. Like, at least we're 49. Everyone's kind of in the 20% at that point. But I guess there's less people. But going back to your video, that's so crazy that there's like a fifth place. Yeah, I'll be kind of bummed if Tiff goes out fifth, you know?
And that's where my heart is like telling me this is going to go. It just feels like that's what's being set up for us. But yeah, I mean, so when you're looking at this like holistically, I know people are bummed last night, but like Jawan, you said it earlier. My favorite episode of the season is the double boot with Ozzy. I thought the blind side of Ozzy was incredible. All that. So I'm coming off of the highest of highs coming out of episode 11. I'm like, Survivor 50 is back. We're going to get Devins or Suri in the finale. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then they do a double boot of Devins and Suri. And I know they can't control who goes home, but maybe this was one moment where Jeff should cut the line of saying, hey, if you make it through this, you make the finale, and just make the finale a final six this time around. Do a little bit longer on Suri's boot, rush through fifth, do fire at four. I don't know. Like, so half the time the reunion, Alexa, you and I went to the reunion for Dave vs. Goliath. It was like 25 minutes long.
Yeah. but to that point, Ozzy went home in a double boot. And yes, he went home before, or excuse me, he went home after Emily, which obviously helped. But we got a full Ozzy send off.
Right.
While also, and obviously Emily doesn't care what Ozzy does, but like, she was a huge part of the season. And it was still very sad. Both of their boots were very satisfying. And they couldn't do that with Rick and Suri.
So what is the difference there? Like, I don't know if you broke this down, Phil. Like, what is the difference between what we just saw last week and then this week's episode? Is it the twist of going back and forth, or is it just different boots?
I think it's that, and I think it's the fact here they did two immunity challenges. Like, they did this as two standard episodes, whereas that one, it was just one immunity challenge and then get right into gameplay. I mean, I remember when I walked into the bar, the first thing I hear is, oh, my God, they're already going to the immunity challenge? And I walked in at 8:15. Like, and that is the thought, though, because you're like, well, what are they doing? And they tried to do it as two – like, they did this like Will Wall and Sunday. And you're like, why are we getting a Will Wall and Sunday boot here when you could have just done that extra cycle with Suri? Like, nothing was written in stone that said we can only have a Final Five finale.
Yeah.
They've done Final Sixes numerous times. Just go for it.
Yeah, that's so good, man. I guess it's the power of structure and like what we're conditioned to, you know? So, yeah, I'm curious if they kept it as like another one challenge, two people go home, if that changes anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll see, too. Like, will we ever see 24 people again? I mean, Jawan, how do you feel about – you've been a fan forever. I know it. Mm-hmm. You played on an 18-person season. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about 24?
That's so interesting. I kind of like more people, you know? And maybe that's a hot take. But I think I like 24 if they split it up into two tribes of two. Right? Mm-hmm. So, but that's still a lot of people to get through, you know? So maybe – I think the sweet spot for me is probably 20 max, two tribes of 10. You guys watch, I forget, Phil, do you watch Australian Survivor?
Yeah, I do. I do. I've watched all of it. Yep.
And do they? How about you, Alexa?
I do. I can't believe Phil just said that. I literally
I did it for the Patreon. Once people were like, we'll pay a little bit of money if you will do this, I'm like, okay, fine.
Phil, But to that point, I think 24 people on two tribes of 12 would work because there's less bouncing around. And then again, it's just better tribe dynamics. If the season was longer, I wouldn't hate that either.
Yeah. 39 days isn't the worst thing. I mean,
yeah. Or even episode wise, like having three more episodes.
Yeah.
That requires a lot.
They did in All Stars. And I get that it's like, what order can you do and stuff? But I mean, we're big enough fans. We're all seeing the Variety articles and stuff that are coming out yesterday that over the last four seasons, this show has made CBS $237 million, like in profit.
Sheesh.
So if that's the case, why not give it a bigger budget and maybe do three more episodes of it or something? Like for a big season like 50, maybe you don't want to go through Memorial Day, but why not start at the beginning of February, like, or start right after the Super Bowl? Yeah. Rather than waiting 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, I mean, two more episodes of this season would have been good. And like, I get like, there's going to be so many things that are just going to be frustrations about 50, but there still is a lot of good that did come out of 50. And that's what's tough about last night is I'm coming out of last night. I'm going to this finale just like, oh, I don't care. And let's see, what was it? It was Bad Guy here says, who cares? They are booted this week or next week. The thing is, though, like, if you know you're losing Devins and Suri, you know that those are two of the biggest rooting interests you're going to have as a show. Give us the fake illusion that one of them could possibly win. That'll stir the conversation. Right now, nobody's really talking about who do you think is going to win? What's going to, because almost everybody's just assuming it's going to be Aubrey at this point.
Yeah. Right. Or Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you guys break down who's second place? Because, yeah, I think Aubrey's edit for me in the beginning, I surprisingly didn't see it as much. The only thing that made me go on pause was like, all right, we're getting a lot of Genevieve versus Aubrey. And maybe it's going to come to a head later, similar to like, you know, Savannah and me. But I'm like, oh, Genevieve got popped pretty early. So that's why I was like, okay, maybe there's something into this Aubrey camp. But other than that, who else are we looking at? So we got Rizzo, right? I don't have the stats pulled up, but he's one of those people that has an confessional in every episode, right? And if we're still going off of those rules, right, then that's like, okay, he's in the mix.
Let's talk about Rizzo. Let's give Rizzo some credit here, Jawan. If Rizzo sits at Final Three with anybody but Aubrey, can he make the pitch that he's the reason Suri and Ozzy both went home? Because he really, in my estimation, he is the reason that they went home. He was the deciding factor. That's not what the edit's telling us, but can Rizzo make that pitch if he sits at Final Three?
I think he could, but it's going to be an uphill road. I think there's some hurt feelings, and I think he would have to look at the jury, the audience, and specifically talk to certain people to kind of be like the Camilla to like the Kyle, being like, hey, I got you. Because I think he probably gets Cerie's vote. And so in this hypothetical, who is he sitting next to, Phil?
Like, so what do you want to do? You went to mouth it first. So you say who you want him to sit next to.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, to that point about Cerie, like, he would need to know that Cerie is on his side so that Cerie can, like, alley-oop him. Exactly like you said with Camilla. I feel like Ozzy wouldn't do that. So it would have to be Cerie. And I think he'd also... I'm not answering the question you asked me. He also would... need to phrase it in a way, if he's sitting next to Aubrey or if Aubrey's on the jury, he would have to say it in a way that's like, sure, it was Aubrey's idea, but I could have told Ozzy and Cerie to do something and I didn't. So kind of like partially taking credit, because I don't think he can win because of the demographics of the jury. And I think that's something that really impacts it.
Aubrey said that.
Yeah. And Brad Ottinger says the only people he can sit with is Joe and Jonathan. And that's the way I think he wins. And honestly, at this point, Joe is in the final three in my mind. I think Tiff is going to be out in fifth. The fifth place edit is real. I think that what it comes down to is I think Aubrey's winning the season. Okay, but let's do this hypothetical for the fun of doing this hypothetical. If Rizzo sits next to Joe and Jonathan and Cerie is on his side, that is the most persuasive person on that jury. Like, the women on that jury look up to Cerie, right? If you're assuming Tiffany is over there, Tiffany looks up to Cerie. Aubrey is breaking down crying voting out Cerie last night. So in this hypothetical, Aubrey's sitting on the jury. Dee looks up to Cerie, right? That is four votes for Rizzo, in my estimation, if Cerie actually has Rizzo's back. Now, my question is, was Cerie playing with Rizzo because she thought he would be easy to beat and she just wanted to drag him along? Or was she playing with Rizzo because she actually respected his gameplay and his style and actually respects him as a person? That's what we didn't really get. She had the Sir Wizard of Oz. We know she respects Ozzy, even though then she's like, how dumb are you that you can't survive without me for 5 seconds? But does she respect Rizzo, or was it, great, I'll just drag this kid along? Kind of like what she did with Lisa in AU versus the World. If anybody watched that, she just kind of had this person who was willing to almost play the game for her, and she didn't have to ever worry about her. So what do you think, Juwan? Does Cerie respect Rizzo enough to be his advocate on that jury if it happens?
That's such a great, you know, tie-in on the AU versus the World. I think there's a big difference, though, in my opinion, with Rizzo and someone like Lisa. I think, no offense, Lisa won the game, but I do think Rizzo is someone that plays it up for the jury. So someone that's been a little bit more active in front of people, maybe not like a full-blown Devins, but someone that has tried to, like, make a different game to stand out. So I would think Cerie, can we think about who Cerie's voted for in the past to win, right? So let's break it down. Panama, who did she vote for to win?
Aris.
Okay. And then Heroes versus Villains? No, Micronesia.
Micronesia, she votes for Parv.
Okay. Heroes versus Villains, she doesn't. And then Game Changers, she votes for Sarah?
I think she does vote for Sarah. That one I'm not.
Right.
Yeah. So
does she, Alexa? Right. Is that fact?
I'll look that up. But I'm saying is that Cerie votes correctly.
Yeah, she votes for Sarah. So she does vote for the winner all three times. She could vote for a winner.
So if Jonathan made a compelling case, but also it's interesting. In this episode, we get her view of Jonathan as someone that's malleable, as someone that she can easily control. And she kind of did. Like, we kind of get a good example of how quick she can whip him into shape. So I think if we compare, and also I think she has an interesting view of Joe. I don't want to just throw Joe out there, but it's kind of same. Like, she kind of views him as someone that's harder to work with. So in my hypothetical opinion, and I could be way off base, and it could come down to final tribal council, but I think if it's Jonathan, Joe, and Rizzo, she probably votes for Rizzo.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
And I think if she votes for Rizzo, I think she drags the women with her. I think she convinces Ozzy to not be bitter. And I think that's something Ozzy didn't have on South Pacific. On South Pacific, he pretty much had everybody being like, yeah, screw Coach, that guy sucks. And like, you know, that whole entire tribe was just so miserable that none of them wanted to see Coach win. And they were really fueling that fire for Ozzy. Yeah. I think Ceri would vote for Rizzo. And I think that she respects him as an ally. And Ceri is very loyal to her allies. That's why she voted for Aris, because that was her closest ally. That's why she voted for Parv. That was her closest ally. That's why she voted for Sarah. Like, her and Sarah are pretty close throughout that game. So, yeah, go ahead, John.
Can I just use like the next like 2 to 3 minutes to talk about Ceri?
Go ahead.
Like, dude, it is like my journey with Survivor. One of the reasons I personally applied for the show, because I'm like, dang, like for me, I grew up in a single parent household and I spent a lot of time watching TV, and it was people like Ceri and like Jeremy Collins that made me want to apply. And also connecting with my mom and stuff, we, you know, not to get too mushy, me and my mom had beef, but the one thing we would connect over is Ceri. So seeing her play, like, you know, Australian Survivor, and then come on and play this season, it, you know, say what you want, do we need to see Ceri again? It is cool. I think her influence on the game and how far she's grown, and I'm just a big Ceri fan, so I'm just glad that we got to see her again. And it sucks, it, like, we've seen this movie before where she gets so close and then she gets the rug pulled out. But again, if we, you know me, I'm a cheesy dude and I like to find the positives. I am just so grateful she was on this season. If this is like a celebration of the show, you're telling me you gotta have Ceri on this season, you know? So I'm just grateful for her game, and it just was cool to see her work her magic a little bit.
Alexa, you got to build off of that, because Panama was your first season and you still talk about Panama like it's the best thing ever. So go ahead.
It is. It's my favorite season. I am a huge Ceri fan, and I'm embarrassed to admit that when this cast was announced, I was not thrilled that she was back, and I wasn't thrilled that Ozzy was back. Fair. We almost named my childhood dog Ozzy, like, and Ceri was my favorite player in the world. Like, we, like, that time period in Survivor is so integral to who I am. And so I was like, we've seen them, like, no, like don't make it worse, don't make me watch her lose again. And yet, just like Dee and Jonathan at the beginning when they were like, we gotta get her out, but she's just so beautiful and perfect and I'm obsessed with her, like, I went through that exact same thing. I was like, I don't need to see her. And immediately I was like, she's perfect. Oh my God, she's totally going to win. Even though I probably knew she never would. But to fill what you were saying earlier about at least just like tease us a little bit and like pretend we have a chance. I feel like for the month of April, I really thought Sari was going to win. I really and truly believed that. And I didn't really have the facts to back it up, but I feel like people thought that. I knew she'd never win immunity. She used an extra vote, like, appropriately. And I'm so glad that I was wrong about her, and I will lump Ozzy into this too, but she's just, like, she's also such a professional. Like, she went out, she would never go out the way that Ozzy did because the two of them just have such different experiences. Like, she knew exactly what we all needed to hear, and I'm so happy she was on. I will never think ill of her being on my TV ever.
Although she said, I'm retired from Survivor, but don't count me out of anything else. And what made me feel good about myself, Alexa, and this is for you too, and Juwan for you, although Juwan, you've been on Survivor, so I guess you don't need to feel as good about yourself, but.
No, I still do.
Okay. Well, we always think of once you guys play Survivor, you're not real people anymore and we're supposed to just roast you. Sari made a comment today in one of her ex interviews. I think it was with Bloom. And she said, I started playing Survivor when I was 35 years old.
And right? She was on the old woman tribe.
She was on the old woman tribe.
So bad. Yeah.
And wow. So she turns 56 this year. And she said, I'm just done with Survivor. Like, that's okay. I didn't think I'd get 20 years out of this. This is unbelievable. But it is one of those things, like, she was on the old women's tribe, which that she shouldn't have been at 35. Alexa, you'd be on the old women's tribe.
I have to really recognize that. That's great.
No, she's not. Alexa's not 35. 35. I'm not outing Alexa.
Oh, okay. That's yeah. Crazy.
No, I'm not 35, but I'm not far away from 35.
Yeah. And we get closer every day. And I just laugh because I'm like, you are telling me, and this is where I always laugh when people will say things like, oh, they can't pull from too early because the people are too old now, or you can't do this, you can't do that. Sari Fields was 35 years old. If she was a musician, nobody would sign her because she wouldn't have long enough of a career. If she was a filmmaker or an actress, people would say, eh, unless she's going to be doing mom roles. Like, that's the thing, right? But Survivor, who will kind of look at things that same way, they say, oh, we can't go too far back. It's like, I just saw a picture today of Kat just had a kid like 2 months ago or something like that. And so Kat has her first kid and Kat's like 35 years old. Like, and she played in One World. Like, that's the thing is, like, you can pull from these people. People are starting at different ages and you just watched 55-year-old Sari Fields play Survivor. She was gold. If you're great at something, you're always going to be great at that thing. Like, maybe not throwing a football, maybe not sprinting, but like when it comes to being an entertainer, if you're a great entertainer, you will continue to be a great entertainer. And I think that Sari Fields just has a knack for it. I hope that people realize the age here of a lot of these players who were playing and were doing this send off of like, we'll never see Ozzy again. We'll never see Colby again. We'll never see Coach again. We'll never see Sari again. Why? Like, who says we can't see them again? And like, maybe they don't want to do it again. Maybe we've seen them too many times. But it's like, well, I'll always say, Terry Deitch should play again. He's 66 years old. Everybody's like, oh, he's too old. He could beat the shit out of me. Like, he can go play Survivor. And I just think
that would tear me up.
there's like a fake ceiling that people almost associate with Survivor. Mm. When people were talking about Sean Rector, like, we won't see anybody from the first 10 seasons again. Sean Rector's still a pretty fit dude. Like, he's what, 50? Who cares? So I don't know. Sari Fields helping out to put it nicely, geriatrics, air quotes. She's doing a great job.
I feel like that also is, I feel like that's also a societal shift, you know, like that people, like, there's just elite panel. Hey, oh, wait.
That's right.
What's up, bro?
Hell yeah. Panel. Yeah. Oh, wait, I lost my train of thought.
You were cooking.
I wasn't prepared to say online. But anyways, like, I feel like in the early 2000s, being 35 was literally geriatric. And now, like, I mean, I live in New York. I'm surrounded by 35-year-olds who aren't even thinking about having children. Like, it's just a completely, and like, people who are in their 60s are working out probably like in a different manner than they were in the early 2000s. So the mindset for society has shifted, but not in the TV world, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like this season though showed how relatable some of these older people can be. I mean, look, you have Rizzo since he popped up here. He's what, 27 years old, and his closest ally is Sari, who's the 55-year-old mom who got up off the couch and like, you know, she's eating off the senior menu at Friendly's now. Like she's doing that. And it's just like, you're like, okay, how are these two bonding? And it's not Kentucky Joe and Elizabeth from Australia. Like it's not that type of bonding. It's like, hey, we're game players. We love this shit. Like, let's go play together. And I think that's what's so fun. And that's the positive stuff about 50. And I think that's some of the stuff that's missing in the new era. Cause we hear like Nate Moore and we hear him talking about people and like how he's relating and how he's trying to play that dad role and stuff like that. But your season has one Nate. You need three Nates. You need four Nates. Like you're talking, Coach is a father now.
Yeah.
Coach wasn't a father the first time we saw him. And I think Coach was 35 the first time he played, or 34. Like you miss this stuff when you don't get the returning player season sometimes.
I totally agree. I think Survivor at his best is when you have so many different like ages and like representation like that. And like our season, we had a Matt, we had an Annie, but they kind of got, you know, early, you know, went out. But yeah, I agree. Hopefully, you know, when they think about returning seasons that they really kind of tap in and don't forget about Sean Rector would be kind of dope.
I talked
about him a lot in my pregame stuff.
That'd be awesome.
He was at the Ron Clark event. I didn't get to talk to him, but like he said in the microphone, he's like, I would play again.
I was like, hello.
What are we doing? Like,
what
are
we doing?
What are we doing?
I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of positive to take from this. And that's one of the positives I am taking. Because like you even mentioned Annie, Matt, Nate. There's one on each tribe.
Right.
You think about this season, like you had six people over 50, seven people over 50. Like you have to pair them up. And so that's the one thing I will say. If they think they can do a 24-person cast again,
yeah.
Start doing it like this, like start looking. And especially I think returning player seasons can be 24 people. I just think they need to figure out they can't backload it like they just did, where we have three episodes left and we have 11 people or whatever it is. And now we're just going to watch them go super fast. But I do think that pull from the early seasons, pull from the middle seasons, pull from whatever, because at the end of the day, if they're good TV, they're good TV. But like, you know, and I don't want to say like pull, like don't trim the fat a little bit here, because you have such a good pool. Don't just put people because you want other people to be stars, because that's just dumb. That doesn't make sense.
All right, Phil, not to put you on blast, and then I'll go to you, Alexa, but you know, returning seasons, we have this itch for it, right? Do you have any, you know, themes you would want to see? I don't know if you talked about this before.
I want second chance too, but after everybody just voted for Natalie Anderson to beat Tony in the winner's bracket, I don't know if I can trust a fan vote for second chance too. But
dude, a second chance vote would be so cool. I remember voting for like Jeremy Collins, like, and making a whole different email to like do it again.
But that's what they're doing for Natalie Anderson in the winner's bracket, Juwan. You're the problem.
It was me. You got me.
Yeah, exactly. You Natalie Anderson been voting for herself 47 times. No. I think a second chance too would be fun. I think a third time's a charm would be fun. The one thing that is limiting about those two themes though, is that it does remove the potential for a four-time player if you wanted to, or like if you do a two-time, a second chance season, you can't have a winner. I think Kyle Frazier should play Survivor again. He might be bald, but he should play Survivor again. And so I want to see him out there, which by the way, everybody, go vote for Camilla. Did you not see this today, Juwan?
Funniest thing I've ever seen.
Camilla said that if she wins the Sia fan favorite, she will give the money to Kyle so he can fly to Turkey and get hair plugs because he's bald. Juwan doesn't even have anything to say. That's it.
I'm voting right now.
And that's, it's so amazing. Funny because she's like, I watched that video and she's like so serious. Like she holds it together so well.
I don't know how she does it, but so that's like the thing for me is like, what can be a twist that's not limiting? And like New Era All-Stars is also very limiting because it's just New Era. And then what do you consider a New Era All-Star? Is Genevieve still listed as an All-Star? Is Q still listed as an All-Star? Like, then are we just getting a lot of the people that we just watched on this season?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to get six people from here and then a bunch of others? Personally, for me, this is a season Alexa and I talked about years ago, like a middle school, new school, old school type thing. That could be fun. But then again, it also comes down to like, are we doing one-time players, two-time players? Really, what the problem at this point is the pool is so massive and there's so many great players to pick from. Like, if James Clement wanted to play Survivor again, you better put James Clement on my screen. Like, that's how I feel. But how do you decide who you're calling in that moment? Do you call James and Rupert? Because now all of a sudden you got two people from the Heroes Tribe and they're both a lot older than they used to be. So, like, what do you think? Jawan, before we even ask Alexa, what would you want to see?
Oh, I think I'm a sucker for just the whole heroes versus villains, like, title, like the premise, you know? Mm-hmm. It puts people in these, like, boxes, these archetypes, but it gets you invested. It makes you want to root for somebody and automatically, you know, hate somebody else. So I kind of like, you know, heroes versus villains, David versus Goliath. But yeah, I would love like a new era heroes versus villains. I don't know if we have enough of the pool yet, but I think that kind of frees it up though, like where you can have second chance people, but also some of like Genevieve and Q who just played. But yeah, I think that's what I'm kind of itching for, something that like a heroes versus villains too. So yeah.
If you have a versus, it automatically creates some tension, which I feel like we're lacking. So I like that. In what both of you were saying, I feel like a lot of people say rivals, which I would love a rival season, but you also could do a couples or pairs season. Like Phil, you just said James. So that means you have to bring Amanda back, which we all want. So you do James and Amanda, you do Sean and Vesepia. You do Dominic and Wendell. Like, the fact that we haven't a Dominic and Wendell back together is crazy. So with pairs or couples or whatever you want to call it, that way you can have both like positive pairs and more acrimonious pairs.
You want to hear a crazy take? McKenna, cut this right now. The best thing that they could do for a returning player season in the 50s is Game Changer style. Do it that way. Random. Whoever the hell they want to put on, that's who they're putting on. You have winners. You have two-time winners like Sandra. You had Sandra and JT on a cast with Haley Ford and Ciara Don Thomas.
Yo, I met Haley Ford at an airport, and she's great. But you're right. At an airport, she's funny. But
I'm glad to know she's still alive.
She has kids, and I was just like a total like dork. I was like, are you Haley Ford? She's like, yeah.
What's crazy is, did she watch this Survivor? Was a week ago, everybody.
No, she does not watch Survivor. She didn't know you were. No, she had no clue. But she was very sweet, very nice, very funny. And when I watched Game Changers live, I was like, what is she doing here? So is that something you would want to see, just random?
Well, I think that opens it up to anybody. Because if you do New Era All-Stars, it's got to be New Era All-Stars. You do Heroes versus Villains, you got to find a way to make them heroes or villains. If you do Second Chance, it's going to be one-time players. Pre-merge, first boots. You know, some people say they want to do like, you know, winners versus contenders or something like that. But then you're limiting yourself. And so to me, Game Changers didn't really work for a couple reasons. And one of those reasons was something that was totally out of their control at the time. The other thing is like, that boot order, though, actually, when you watch it, you're like, okay, you might not think that that was a favorable boot order, but it kind of was. And like, I know Sandra and JT going out the way they did, like, there's a lot of really good gameplay on Game Changers. Game Changers just has one of the ugliest moments in the history of the show that's such a black eye. And then it does have Suri going out in total bullshit fashion. And it does have Aubrey not even being a part of the season, Ozzy barely being a part of it, like, even though they make it far. But for me, it's like, just do it where anybody can play it. And that's kind of what 50 was, but then it wasn't, because then 50 also felt like, oh, we got to do 12 New Era. We got to do 12 Old School. We want to make sure the Old School people are bigger legends. And then like, if you think about it, everybody who's pre-season 30 had played a bunch of times and already built themselves up as a legend. We can't get a one timer there, but I don't want to limit that Todd Herzog could play again. Cause I know he would, and I know he'd kill it, but I don't want to limit that Sean Rector could play again. And I don't want to limit that Kyle Frazier could play again, but I also don't want to limit that. Maybe like, you know, somebody who has had a second chance, Bruce, right? Bruce can't play again because technically we're doing a second chance season and he already had, like, that's for me, just do it random, but don't do it as limiting as what they did with 50 either, because 50 could have been a lot more widespread from who they picked from. And instead they were like, no, we're going to do really recent seasons. We're going to get our legends. And then you end up with a final five that like people really aren't happy about right now.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. Thank you and for that, bro.
I feel like that is how it happens with these returnee seasons. So
yeah,
we have to change it up.
How do you get back out there, Jawan? What theme do you think you would need to get back on?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm cool enough for a returnee season. I can name a good
attitude.
12 to 14. If I'm back out there, we got a problem, dog.
You just said you met Haley Ford at an airport. Haley Ford was on
She's cooler than me.
I don't know, man. I know Jeff did think she was unbelievably hot, and I think at one point said she was the hottest survivor. So unless you
I don't know.
I feel like you said that. Now I got to Google this.
No, I would love to be an alternate, but no, that's very nice. I think, I'm curious if they would ever do a Blood versus Wilder season. I know that rumor mill was going around for a while, but how did you
like a Blood versus Wilder season. I think they're creative. Though at this point, I feel like they would do it with returnees, but that feels like almost a quote unquote waste of returnees. Cause you only get like half of the cast. You only get 10 or so. I don't know. I have a question, but it's very different than what we're talking about.
Well, let me say this real quick. Blood versus Water, One World. That's what Once Upon an Island always says. That's the move. Blood versus Water, One World, half returning players, half not. So you can do it as One World. Cause we know the returning players are on one tribe. We know the non-returning players are on the other, but now they're interacting. That's the way to do it.
That's a good idea.
That would be fun, but I feel like my family would stress me out, dog.
Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, Jawan's on Blood versus Water. Here we go. That's how we got you back. So
who would your counterpart be? Who would your...
It would probably be my younger brother. He's about to turn 18 pretty soon, and this dude is a giant. I am 5'7", barely, and he's like 6'1", and legit, I'm 10 years older than him. So he thinks, you know, he likes to talk trash. He's like, bro, how did you lose to a guy that calls himself the Riz God? I would have picked him. I'm like, so I think, yeah, that would be funny trying to.
I like that.
He's the total opposite of me. But
So Alexa, what's your random question?
I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but. Is there going to be a Final Four fire making or not? Did the fans vote for Final Four fire making?
There has to be.
Wait, you think the fans voted for fire?
Absolutely.
There were a lot of quotations on that comment. What if they don't do it?
I didn't vote for fire.
It's unpredictable.
Here's my thing, though. 63%. Don't forget, Jeff always talks about it. 63% of people voted for twists and whatever. So far, the fans have gone with the more aggressive thing. And having fire is the more aggressive thing. So I would be shocked if it was like 51. If it ends up being no fire, it's like 51-49.
Do we think the fans actually voted for no rice and no supplies?
Probably, because again, that's the more aggressive thing.
I voted for rice.
I voted to feed them and give them stuff.
Yeah, I didn't care, so I think I voted yes, too, because, like, I really don't care. And now Rizzo literally weighs, like, 100 pounds at this point. Like, he's getting
the fans did this.
Good job, guy.
Yeah.
Did you vote for fire, Phil? My bad. Did you vote
for fire? I did vote for fire. I did. Oh, I think fire is better. Yeah.
You like fire?
I do.
Wow.
I think fire does have a net positive more often than not, and I think that it is more entertaining TV than a normal Final Four vote. I think if it hadn't started the way it did with Chrissy versus Ben, I think most people would love it. If you really think about fire too, fire almost never actually impacts the winner of a season. It does in some instances, but for the most part, fire has like no impact at all. Or if it does, it's because, oh good, Wendell beat Angela. So now we get to watch Wendell versus Dom rather than Dom just winning 10-0 at Final Tribal Council. And so like really it was those first two seasons, 37, it didn't matter. It was Kara versus Mike. 38, it was a massive thing, but that was also because Chris had to completely game it just coming back into the game. 39, it was Dean versus whoever, who was for Lauren. 40, it was Tony versus Sarah. And the winner of that probably wins, but still Natalie not doing it is what actually cost her the game, probably. 41, it was Heather versus Deshaun.
Deshaun.
So that didn't matter. 42, Jonathan lost to Mike, so it didn't matter. 43, Gabler won, but you know, Gabler, nobody was seeing as a threat anyway. People probably would have taken Gabler to the final. They used Gabler to beat Jesse. If they had the opportunity, they just vote Jesse out anyway. So Gabler wins that season no matter what. 44, Carson goes. 45. What? Who lost Fire in 45? Katura. Katura wasn't winning the season. So I don't think it really matters. Like, that's my point. Kenzie had the fire in her eyes. We'll never forget that. But I don't think it really matters. And I think it is more entertaining TV. And that gives you a more likelihood of a good final three than not. That's my opinion.
I like that. You might have just converted me. That I love that. But in a final four, can't you still get a fire anyway? Say if it locks.
Yeah.
You can still get a fire, right? I think I'm just so like, I want something new. Like, say if they went back and forth every season, like, oh, 41 is fire, 42
switch it
is,
off. Yeah.
Yeah, like if it goes back and forth, I think I would like that. But it's kind of just the repetition. But you make great points. I don't think fire is bad. I think I'm just, I want to see something new. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like it frustrates me because it like reverse engineers a result, which I don't really like. But I also now I don't love that like now they just give them like give them all the kindling and they're like, don't even talk to each other, don't even politic, just go practice. Like I don't need to watch 25 minutes of each finale. That is when I can go take a shower, I can make popcorn because I don't care to watch people crying while they are not making fire and then that person ends up winning. Like it's just always that is like uninteresting to me. But to that point, Phil, it yields a more interesting result. It took us 10 years to get here and I think nobody wants to admit it. I don't like it, but it is true.
And that is the best argument I heard during the offseason when people were voting. Cause I was very much like, yeah, of course I voted for fire. And then people were saying, well, we want the different. And I said that makes sense. The variety is important. And right now when we talk about Survivor, just feels the same all the time, every season, three tribes, no theme, whatever. Like we're going to do the earn the merge and this and that. And then you have fire. It does start to feel too repetitious. So I understand. I understand where people are coming from with that argument. But for me, it always is like, you know, would I have liked to have a final four fire making in some of these final three seasons where you do get the fourth place Fallen Angel? Like, yeah, I mean, sometimes it could maybe lead to a better final three. Like, I don't know. I mean, would it be better if Adam Klein had to compete against David Wright for fire? Maybe. Or if David Wright is competing against Hannah and David Wright beats Hannah and now David Wright is sitting next to Adam, like David probably beats Adam, but you know, maybe that's more compelling than watching Adam win 10-0. Although I'll take Adam winning 10-0 all the time. You know, but that's just, I don't know. I think people will have voted for it though. Now, Alexa, this is the important question. This comes from Will. I wonder if fans voted for a live finale.
We can only wonder.
I know.
We can only wonder. 51-49.
No, I know. That was like, what, 98-2?
Yeah.
Todd's over here like, yeah, they invited all the winners to the live finale. I'm like, well, I guess there's really no suspense about the live finale. I mean, they've been talking about the live finale nonstop, but it's just so funny.
That was an easy one. Yeah. So I texted Phil this, but I was like, is Vesepia going to be there? Should I come? Like, how legit is this going to be?
Yeah. Who do you think the deepest cut of winners is going to be? Like me and Todd were talking about this a little bit. It's like, do we get Vesepia? Do we get Heidek? Like, do you get Jenna Marasco?
That would be wild. Like, do you think they invited
really?
All of them? Hatch?
Richard?
Hatch isn't going, though, because Hatch is doing the finale party with Fairplay. And Sandra is not going because she's doing another thing. Like, a lot of people aren't going because they already committed to, like, doing other finale parties and stuff. And they're probably going to pay
to invite them so late. That's so weird.
That was Todd's question.
I feel like Yule isn't a super deep cut, but he kind of is. I bet I would love Yule to be there.
Earl.
If we could be so lucky.
Saying, like, they're good. If they invited all these people, I'm curious who the deepest cut will be. Like, Natalie White's not going to be there, but if Natalie White is there,
that'd be crazy.
That would be the most insane thing ever. And I do also feel like a lot, like Will says, Tommy Sheehan, I'd be curious. He just had his second kid. Like, I'd Fabio. Be curious to fly out for it. Fabio. I mean, Fabio.
That would be wild.
I will say, if Survivor was going to forget to invite a winner, though, it probably would be Fabio. Because he didn't even know Winners at War was happening. I don't know. I feel like that's really cool. I do. I think it's cool. And I'm curious to see, like, who the deepest cut will be out of the winners who actually show up. And again, people were making the joke last night. It feels like the reunion is going to be a bigger deal than the finale. And it kind of does feel that way. If this goes predictable and it is just Aubrey walks to the end and wins, then the reunion might be more interesting. But you know what? Like, I'm happy we have a live reunion because that gives you something to look forward to. It really does. Like,
I know you probably broke this down before, but if we think Aubrey is like the obvious winner at it, who's giving her a hard time? Because I rank it probably Aubrey, Jonathan based off of edit, Tiffany based off of gameplay. But let's break that down. If Aubrey, Jonathan, and Tiff are in a final three, it's still not a runaway for Aubrey, right? Or is it just because her name? Like, what are your thoughts? I see you thinking, Alexa.
I don't think anything's like a 10-0. I think there's probably like a new era, old era mindset too. Someone left a comment that like apparently Coach said in his exit press, like, I wouldn't vote for someone who played 26 days. I could totally see that being an attitude.
Which means he does, because he even said, I'm not playing Survivor again. So like, he's trolling us again, and he definitely does vote for somebody who plays 26 days.
But that is a mindset that I could see people like subconsciously having in the old school versus new school mindset. To me, I think it's like the second chances. Like, let me take this all back. I think in terms of, if Aubrey sits up there and she's like, I lost, and here's why I lost, and then I did well in Game Changes, and I didn't do well in Edge of Extinction, and then here I am playing the game that I lost to, like, how could you not vote for that? It's amazing. Mm. Versus, I think Rizzo is a good story too. Like, he literally, he's
back to back
giving Amanda Kimmel, you know? But I don't know. I think Ceree would be on board with him. I don't know if Ozzy would be. I don't think like Coach is going to vote for him to win, you know?
And
Jonathan, I think, could have a lot of votes.
I think what's going to be really interesting, and it kind of reminds me of Brad versus Sarah a little bit. If we get Jonathan versus Aubrey will feel like the really obvious winner to us because of what the edit has told us. And because, like, you know, like, I've trained Alexa, confessional on every episode, like, she's getting content when she doesn't need it. We're getting the backstory on Michelle. I think, though, that's probably like a 7-4. I really do. I think if it's Jonathan versus Aubrey, and let's say the third person is Joe, I think it's a 7-4, Aubrey wins. I don't know who would win with Tiff. I've written Tiff off so hard just because of how bad her edit is. I feel like D would probably vote for Tiff, but then it comes down to the pedigree. Does pedigree matter? And did Tiff do enough aside from win immunities to, you know, kind of get people's backing at that final tribal? Jonathan, though, with the whole honor and integrity thing, like, I think Jonathan gets Chrissy. Coach. I think there's Stephanie. A chance that he could get Stephanie. Yeah. Like, I think he gets 3 or 4 votes. And so you sit here and you say, oh, well, Aubrey won 7-4. I could see that happening, and it's closer than we think. Like, I agree with Alexa, 10-0, 11-0, whatever it would be, I'd be floored if it was that wide of a margin.
Yeah, I think Jonathan has a really good chance. Like, I was not as chronically online for this season, and I was watching this, and I was like, Jonathan is the narrator. He's right about a lot of things. He's wrong about a lot of things, but he's like, he is very much a part of this season, and it wouldn't shock me if he won. He got a little bit of the, like, Ceree says I can manipulate him and then promptly manipulates him at it. But, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, on paper, you know, Jonathan has definitely surprised me this season. I never thought that he would, be one of the main narrators, but he's kind of, you know, he has this exterior of like an old school, maybe just in terms of size, but it is cool seeing him kind of, like, you know, socially and strategically move. Like, for example, with the D thing, I thought that was kind of interesting seeing him being intentional about like sparking chaos. I'm like, oh, he's active and he's kind of aware of like what the dynamics are, you know? So he's definitely surprised me a lot. I know we haven't talked too much about Joe, but I'm a sucker for Joe, and I think I'm biased because I feel like I'm not as strong or as handsome as Joe, but I'm a softy too, and I'm someone that the fans thought was just this emotional dude that really didn't have a strategic bone in my body. Not true. I mean, it's kind of true, but not true.
Also not true because I thought you had all of that, Juwan.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Thank you. But to talk about Joe and just the choice of casting for him on 50, I think that was such a strong choice because, yeah, like him or hate him, I think his presence has been felt on this season too. Just to see him kind of be the opposite, you know, the foil to Rick Devens has been kind of fun and like a backwards old school versus new school vibe. So I'm a big fan of Joe. Who else? I'm glad Tiff was on this season too. I'm just yapping right now, but I'm glad that my bad. But I'm glad Tiff was here too. And it's cool to see her kind of go on this immunity run. She has three, right? Technically.
Yeah. I don't know why they're acting like Joe and Tiff don't both have three. Like, why are we like, oh, they only have two individual. It's like, no, they paired up. Like you did the stupid pair thing. Eat it. They both win. That counts. Like yeah. Stop. Jeff's like, we must protect Boston Rob's record at all costs.
Joe literally.
Close. Like, give me a break, man. It counts. Yeah. Okay. As far as I'm concerned, it counts. I hear you with the Joe thing. What's funny about Joe is I do think that Joe has no chance to win the season. Like there's no denying that Joe has no chance to win the season. No, no shot. Joanne's giving that face. There's no way. There's no shot.
I got questions, but go ahead. Cook.
I don't know if he'll get a vote.
No, he won't. My thing with Joe is, Joe should be on every season. Like, I'm sorry. Like, not this Joe, but Joe should be on every season. And it's like Abby Maria was at the party last night. She sees me. She comes, oh, gives me a hug. I'm like, okay, this is great. My wife had just watched Abby Maria on Second Chance. And she's like, I didn't know she was this nice. What the hell is going on? I'm like, yeah, Abby Maria is amazing in person. Stephen Fishback said that on a podcast a couple weeks ago. She's like, no. Abby Maria is great in person, just on the island. She's hungry, and this is the edited version that you're seeing of Abby Maria. But I want an Abby Maria on every season, right? Yep. Like, I want players who don't really play the game. Like, I want people who are going to have their – because imagine if you had a Final Three that was an Abby Maria type, a Joe type, and then give me another archetype that we laugh at, like a Bob Crowley or a Gabler. They both won, but give me that old man who's just kind of along for the ride. Give me the guy who's going loyalty, 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 and give me a villain. And that's compelling to me. And honestly, like, I do think that these types of characters need to be there. Joe is so unlike, everybody keeps saying he is not meant for New Era Survivor. He's not. But like, think about the people that they were putting on Old School Survivor. They weren't meant for Old School Survivor. So for me, it's like, give me different archetypes. That's what makes Survivor better. I don't need 18 Rizzos now because you're trying to get to Gen Z. Like, that's not what the show needs to be. There can be a Rizzo on every season, but there should be a Joe on every season. There should be an Abby Maria on every season. There should be a Stephen Fishback on every season. Like, there should be these different archetypes, and that's the thing that's important to me. Yeah. But Joe has no chance to get a vote this season, Juwan. He's getting zero.
Who's going to vote for him?
Juwan was just dumped for 12 seconds.
Wait, I was cooking. I was thinking if Jonathan's on, he's probably voting for Joe too.
Yeah.
They're like partners, right? Mm-hmm. My question to you was, I think on the surface sometimes people can like assume like the alpha bros are like the same. So Jonathan and Joe, what do you think the big difference is there? Cause they both kind of represent this new era, kind of like strongman that has old school ties. But we're saying that on the one hand, Jonathan can win, but we're like, oh yeah, we know Joe can't win. Is it just the edit, or were there decisions that were night and day for those two?
Jonathan's willing to play the game and Joe's not. And I think that's the biggest difference. I think that because Jonathan has made moves on this season, Jonathan has done things that actually are positioning himself. And he can say to the jury, look, Christian, I gave you this back. I knew you were going home. Look, D, I knew you were going, but I actually wanted you to get angry there because I was trying to protect my alliance, whatever. Joe is so caught up in the honor and integrity. Joe's coming across like coach, but he's coming across like coach 2.0 or coach 1.0. where it's just so over the top with the honor and integrity, I'll never lie, I'll never do this. These players don't respect that. They don't care about that. So I think the problem is too for Joe, anybody who would vote for Joe, like anybody who would, they're going, if Jonathan's sitting there, they would all vote for Jonathan because they're going to be more respectful of the game that Jonathan has played, because Jonathan was honor and integrity, but he also did what he had to do to get by. Where Joe is going to go so hard with the honor and integrity thing that I think he would get a reception similar to Coach at South Pacific. The difference is Coach actually did play, you know, a pretty good game in South Pacific, and I don't think Joe has done enough to get any votes. I think Joe is a zero vote finalist on this season. I think everybody wants to go to the end with him. I think he's zero.
You know, just to jump off of that, I watched Rick Devin's exit interview, I think with, it might've been with Rob, but anyway, he brings up a good point about like when he got to the jury, he was surprised about the amount of people that were like, hey, like we were rooting for you. A lot of like the old schoolers. And they were like, oh yeah, you are. Like once they kind of stepped back and they realized, well, he's kind of loyal to his people. Like he went down with the ship. So I guess that's what I want to bring up. I'm like, there's power, I guess, in not voting for, you know, like maybe not being in on the majority. Do you think if Joe stays like loyal to the soil with, you know, and like he doesn't vote out Coach? I mean, he technically didn't want to vote out Coach, but he was kind of forced.
Name and supposedly yeah. forced him to write Coach's name, which is so funny.
Right. But do you think we view his game differently if he doesn't vote out some of his allies? You know, how do you feel about that, Alexa and Phil? Like, do you feel like it changes anything, or is it still like, oh, it's still not him playing the game?
Alexa, you get to go on this one. I'll help you with Patrick J. Stahl here. He says, I think Joe made moves. They just happen to be the same moves that other players made and arrived at differently. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I just feel like he got dunked on so much at this edit. Like I forget where I saw this, but like apparently he doesn't even hate Rick Devins. Like apparently they're pals, and he's like, I mean, obviously he kept bringing up voting him out, but I don't know. I think like you can't say honor and integrity and then vote out all of your allies. And like I'm actually so curious what he'll say at Final Tribal Council. Like I'm very curious what he'll say. Especially considering that like it's basically on a collision course for what happened on his season the first go around.
And I think the problem is he didn't have time to learn from his first season. I mean, Juwan, if you turned around and played season 50, you'd probably play the same game.
Oh yeah, I would be goofy. Like I would have got blasted. I would have got cooked. And I think, you know, yeah, shout out again to Savannah and Rizzo playing back to back. I mean, I think everybody, I want to go back. And everyone would have loved to go back, but you know, it's so hard to not like, you know, see yourself on TV, really process like where you went wrong. And for people like Rizzo, like he never got a chance to like pitch his game. So it would be so cool to see like him in the final three seats, because we kind of get that answer of how the jury would react to him. But yeah, it is, you know, just to talk about Rizzo, it is really cool to see him. Like I compare him to me. Like I'm the Redditor super fan that thinks they're going to go on the show and kill it. And like, you know, totally, what's his name? Jacob Derwin sock thing. That's me. I'm the goofy guy with the socks and taking the bag. Rizzo is like the Redditor super fan that actually knows some stuff and actually can like hide the super fandom. And he had the disadvantage of everyone knowing, you know, RIZGOD. Like we didn't even know any of that. So long story short, it is cool to see a super fan really get to live like their dream, like playing Saree, what? So yeah. I'm glad he got his opportunity. And
this is from Shannon Gus over on Twitter. Rizzo will have made it to the final vote in two consecutive seasons, 18 tribals in 3 months, and he's never walked in without an immunity idol to his name. He has had an immunity idol at all 18 tribal councils.
That's crazy.
That he has gone to. Yeah. Juwan gone. I mean, that is.
I take back everything.
That's a crazy fact.
And my thing is, like, if he gets to the end, I don't know if people will respect it. Because he even admits, like, in 49, he doesn't know if he would have won that season. And Juwan, do you think Rizzo wins that season if he gets to the end?
Against who?
Who did he do fire against?
Savannah.
If it's Sophie, him, and Sage, do you think he wins? Or do you think Sophie wins?
I think there were hurt feelings, if I'm being honest. But when he came back, I've talked about this on the other podcast. When he came back to the jury, it took some convincing. So it would have been cool to see him try to battle that in real time, because he didn't realize the damage that he probably did. And then he was like, oh, I need to like talk it out. But for me, he probably gets my vote. I'll just say that. He'll get my vote because – oh, damn.
Sage is there. Savannah's not. Sage is there. You're voting Sage still.
I'm still voting Sage, to be honest, dog. Mm-hmm. I'm proud. That's just me. I know people might be like, what the heck, Juwan? That's just me. I vote for like the people I was rocking with. But, you know, I was also rocking with Rizzo heavy too. So I would have loved to see his pitch, but it would have been hard. Blue Sophie was cooking too. So I think it would have been a very spicy vote. It could have been like, what? How many people were on the jury? Dang, I forgot.
Had nine? Yeah, it was final 11. Nate was the first one. And he was 11th.
Yeah. So it would have been maybe a 4-3-1. And yeah, I don't want to go on record saying who would win that.
That's what's cool though, because now Rizzo's playing the same game again, and he's doing it this way, and it's like, can he make that pitch? Did he think that was a winning game 9 days later? I don't know. And that's the question that we don't have the answer to. But either way, Rizzo has made two phenomenal moves on this season. He took out Ozzy. Okay. He could have touched Ozzy's shoulder and said, Ozzy, play your idol. And he didn't. That was his decision. And he could have done the same thing. He could have, not that he could have saved Suri, but he could have, somebody was talking about how he could have blown up yesterday and he could have said, guys, I'm actually the one who told Suri about Tiff, so that they all put votes on him. He plays his idol and gets whoever he wants out of the game. Like, he could have done that if he would have gotten the votes on himself. So I do feel like it was, you know, him, Suri getting knocked out of the game, a lot of that had to do with Rizzo. Because if Tiff was voting Aubrey, Rizzo could have easily voted Aubrey too. And maybe then you're convincing Joe, who doesn't want to risk going out and doesn't really get the whole rocks of it all. Yeah. I don't know. So I think Rizzo had some good moves to his name. I don't think he could pitch it.
I feel like an underrated thing too is like we see Joe and Rizzo. Like there's been times where Rizzo's like, oh, we can't leave Joe out. So there's a bond there. And also like this episode, I think Joe was like, we can't leave like Rizzo out. Like there's like I don't know if we're seeing it because of the edit or what, but like, I'm like, oh, it is cool to see Rizzo connect with not just Suri, but like other people on the island too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know, Alexa, it's almost 11:30 for you there on the East Coast. So we'll get this thing wrapped up here. Final thoughts before we get out of here, which, by the way, Juwan, I told you that Alexa was a massive WNBA fan last night, didn't I?
Yeah.
Alexa, lean back real quick.
New York Liberty. Nice.
Yeah. I told you, Juwan. I literally said to him, I was like, I know she has something to do earlier in the night. She might be going to a Liberty game. She's in
the No, I live I moved to a different area of Brooklyn and I live quite literally on top of where the Liberty play. So I was like, I think we have to become season ticket holders. So it was my second season as a season ticket holder. Oh, nice. So much fun. I was not at a Liberty game, but okay. I was at a ballet, which makes me sound so much more cultured than I am.
Did you bring a sign that said, screw you, Timothy Chalamet, while you sit there?
Yeah, exactly. One of the guys looked like him.
There you go.
Yeah. Making a statement. Anyways,
final thoughts before we get out of here. What's your, because I'm not going to talk to either of you again. Alexa, you're actually going to be doing the recap next Wednesday.
I am. I'm honored. I'm so excited. Survivor Specialist Alexa.
It's Alexa and Blake and maybe Will. Will is shooting the finale of something next week, so he's going to be having a hard time to get here. I'm going to be at the finale. Hopefully Will can make it. If he can, it's Alexa, Will, and Blake. If Will can't make it, it's just Alexa and Blake, which is like Juwan.
Let me tell you, there's never been a podcast with just me and Blake, and probably for good reason. So I hope it's just the two of us.
I hope that happens.
Yeah, we need the adults in the room.
I don't know. Would Will be the moderator in the situation, or I would probably be the moderator between the two of them?
Oh, Will and Blake are going to be so negative about the season next week, pretty much no matter what. So, Alexa, you would be the moderator. I mean, Will said last night on this podcast, and he does not like Joe at all as a Survivor player. He said on this podcast last night, he wants Joe to win at this point just so something happens. And I was like, you don't actually believe that. He just started laughing. Will is Yo, that's how negative Will is currently.
Will
being.
Needs a hug, dog. Yeah, he needs Will, Will needs
he needs a hug from Jim.
Right.
Yeah. Will, if you're still listening, Jawan says you need a damn hug. So whatever.
Catch me next week recapping the finale. It's gonna be me, Blake, and maybe just that, or Will. It's gonna be or great. Will. And look at what now me and Blake are going to yap about the finale. Mm-hmm. This is
let's go.
Not what anybody asked for.
There he is.
He's giving himself a hug.
Jawan, there you go.
There you go, brother. Appreciate you too, man.
So, Jawan, what is your what's your hope for the finale?
Hey, man, I'm just going to stop you right here. I'm going to give y'all your flowers. You know, this is me. I'm a cheesy dude. But I told you this last night at the bar. But flashback to 2017, this nerd went to Rutgers College, and I was the nerd that sat in the corner of the room eating lunch by myself. But guess what I was listening to? I was listening to you guys cook. So I want to say thank you guys. It's crazy. Dang, 2017, it's like 2026 now. It's wild. So thank you guys so much for like just being consistent, and, you know, like it's cool. The community is dope. And yeah, that's my cheesy little rant, but I definitely love y'all.
It's such a cool feeling.
Thank you, Jawan. I appreciate that. And I think I told you that last night too, and especially that you were doing it at Rutgers, because like I mean, that's where all my friends went too. So, you know, you should have just called me back then and been like, hey, you know, anybody?
You would have been like, who the hell is this dude?
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, JD was talking to us before I think he played and everything. So who knows? But right. I do appreciate, you know, it's always fun for me doing this consistently. I mean, because it was me and Will, then it was me and Alexa forever. Now it's me and Will, and now Blake and Alexa are taking over. But, you know, doing it literally as consistently as I have for 11 years, it's always fun to hear, like, who listened to us before, like Rizzo. He listened to us all the time. Like, and that's a cool feeling. And then there's other people who have no freaking clue who I am, and that's fine. But it is always fun to hear like the people who went back and listened to our tell-alls or listen to this or listen to that and just see it. Because look, I know that, you know, the trolls, I always say the trolls are out in full force. Everybody's like, you don't need to talk to the trolls. I'm like, the difference between old school trolls and new trolls is the new trolls think they're right. The old school trolls knew they were trolling. I can deal with real trolls. It's the people who think they're right that I'm like, dude, you guys are just like, here's some constructive criticism. You're an asshole. I'm like, you're almost there. It's almost
not feedback.
But you know, so for me, it's fun to hear this because like I have tried to stay as positive as possible. I hate doing podcasts like we did last night. I really do. Yeah. Like I hate sitting here being like, what are we supposed to do? We did it a lot during 48, and it just bums me out. I don't like to be super negative, but I also have to say what I feel about a season. I have to say what I feel about an episode. I'm not going to be the guy who's coming out and being like, oh yeah, this is the greatest Final Five in the history of the show. Anybody who's telling you that right now is a liar. Like they're lying to your face. But, you know, it's always like, you know, I love being able to talk to the players and do the things like last night and do things like this. And, you know, Jawan, anytime you want to come on, you can come on. I don't know if Alexa's going to stay up every time, but you know, you always have an invite. We're going to have you on for 51 for sure. Probably can't have you on for 52 because you'll be out there, but.
You know, I might step back too a little bit, but. Let me know when you this is a special place for me, so I would love to come back and help in any way. And Alexa, thank you for staying up. Isn't it like midnight for you, homie?
It's getting a little late, but this has been really fun. I've been missing, I said this when Phil was restarting his computer, but I've been missing this. It's been a ton of fun, and honestly, I have to say, not being someone who's recapping the show all the time, I definitely think I'm enjoying Survivor more. So I will be positive. I got you.
Yeah. Alexa tells me that all the time now. She's like, I was enjoying 48. I didn't know everybody hated it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm like, I binged this. It wasn't that bad.
The only other person who likes this season is my dad, and he only likes bad seasons of Survivor. Alexa, what has happened to you?
There's something about like waking up on Thursday and watching that just hits a little different.
Not the pressure of being like, what are your immediate thoughts, and be prepared to be roasted by commenters.
Right. And then trying to fall asleep, and I'm like, oh, that troll, they were right. You know? Right.
Yeah, exactly. You're second guessing what you said. You're like, was I too rough on this person? I don't know.
Alexa, before we sign off pretty soon, did you like 49? What were your thoughts on 49?
I don't even know. Did I join a single podcast for 49? Like maybe one?
Yeah, I don't know. 49 was easy for me to podcast, honestly. So
normally I wasn't really around. Yeah.
And did you like it though?
I literally don't remember.
Just be real. It's okay.
I have to like everybody except for the guy who got eighth. I think that's what she said.
Yeah, wasn't for me.
Are you eighth?
I loved Sage. I remember early on, like laughing my ass off watching the pre-merge. And I was like, Survivor usually isn't this like funny, because I feel like people a lot of times are like trying to be very funny. And just like watching Sage, I was like, this is fantastic. I think I had the same frustrations that most people had, like knowing what was gonna happen. Yeah. And like that impacting the season. But I think I liked it. I didn't hate it. I loved you. I loved you and Sage.
All right. That's what I was fishing for, that. So that's all I needed to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Alexa, Rizzo's still serious. In the chat. What do you really think of Rizzo?
What's that?
Rizzo's still in the chat. What do you really think of Rizzo?
I did not care for Rizzo.
There you go.
And I'm saying that in the past tense. I am a convert, but if Rizzo and all of you have been listening to me yap about this show for however many years, 10 years I've been doing this, my flavor is not cocky, and Rizzo plays the cocky flavor. However, on this season, I am really, really liking him.
There you go.
And I don't hold it against him that he voted out someone who I almost named my dog after.
Yeah. Yeah. But somebody was making, I saw somebody on Twitter, which, you know, is obviously just Twitter, the cesspool that it is, was making the argument that he should have been willing to go to the end with two Survivor legends to be a zero finalist and stuff. And I'm like,
right.
Minds. Like, what are right. we doing?
So that's the thing. I'm like, he's playing a fantastic game. He's like, he's absolutely won me over. Don't worry. I will lay in bed tonight feeling bad about the fact that I said I didn't care for him in his first season. And
he just texted me and said, are you kidding? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that.
But I'm being honest. I didn't want to be mean. Wasn't my thing. But I really, like, exactly. What is he going to do? Play his literal dream and be like, you know what? I should lose. Like, who would ever do that? He's a competitor. He should try to win.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, exactly. So, you always play to win. That's why you're there.
And so I don't know. I guess I think I'm a Riz God fan.
We need to get y'all on the show. What the heck? When are y'all applying?
That's why we're doing it's rivals. It's
podcast versus
I know too much, Juwan. I know too much. I know too much. They know where to find me if they ever want me on, but there's no way it's ever gonna happen.
We gotta get you on, man. Well,
One day when the show is canceled and I just pretend that I'm on it, you know, I'll just go run around and film myself. But anyway,
51, baby.
There you go. Anyway, here we are. So, well, Juwan, this was a pleasure. Alexis, thank you for staying up. Any final thoughts now? Any final thoughts before we get out of here? Alexa, you got to go rest for a week. You got to be ready. 16.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta practice keeping Blake entertained.
Not easy to do. audience you're going to have. Well,
Alexa, thank you again. This is dope. This is awesome. You know, a super fan's bucket list. And Phil, keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you.
This is awesome, guys.
Thank you very much, Juwan. And everybody else, thank you so much for listening. Like this video and subscribe to the channel. Really like this video. If you're still here, it helps. It goes a long way. And, you know, we need those likes, man, so that people keep on watching us. Our algorithm's killing it right now, and we're getting good numbers. So don't let that go away. Like the video. And patreon.com/thespecialist. We recorded our first episode of Co Wrong today, literally right before we got here. That's why we were 7 minutes late. So that's going on with Every Season Matters. That first episode doesn't come out till the 21st, but we did record it today. And then we have my after show. We got rock draws. We got tech talks. We got casting stuff. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on over there. So check out patreon.com/thespecialist. Otherwise, McKenna and John will be live tomorrow night. I'll be live Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern time, with James Jones for Prediction and Power Rankings. I don't know who Tegwith is going to be live with for Matt Chat, but then on Tuesday, I will have James Wallington, winner of Amazing Race, at 8 p.m. Eastern time to do the final prop bet of the season and give our final predictions before Alexa and Blake come in and take over for the finale. And then I got Troy Zan on Thursday to do the digging for the finale. So that'll be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do that. So that's our whole week that we got going on. And I also know Lauren O'Connell, the last Monday, the Monday after the finale on Memorial Day, I think she's jumping on with Tegwith to do one final Matt Chat. So she'll be able to really close out the season. So a lot going on. A lot going on.
My big God. Things. That is a week. Big things.
Yeah. Look at and y'all. Then also that last week of May, we're doing a Survivor 50 look back, and we'll also be doing a player legacies. So we got two things going on that last week. Plenty going on. So like the video so that, you know, there's a reason to keep going. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Peace.